So I give you Bob Keys, home group, and Robert St. Clair.
Hi, everybody. My name's Bob. I'm an addict. And they originally asked me to speak at the Just for Today, and then somebody had a bright idea about me going to history. So, and any time that I've been in, that I try to do history, I didn't do this myself, as we all know. So, first people come to mind is the guy I got clean with, Ed Curry. I mean, Ed C. He assisted me in starting the first meeting, Double Bubble Group. Dennis. We got somebody from Washington, somebody from Greensburg here. I'd asked somebody from the city, but they couldn't make it. They were in Philadelphia. Somebody in Butler, they just canceled. I tried to get somebody from the Mon Valley. He said, no, that's not for me. So I said, that's cool. But anyway, this isn't like, this is about history, not a personal story. So when I got clean, I went to a treatment center in Allenwood, PA. And at that treatment center, they had an AA meeting on Wednesdays and Sundays. But there was a lot of drug addicts there, from Philly, New York, Lancaster, Redding, Harrisburg. And there was a lot of people there, and they would talk about this program, Narcotics Anonymous, but they wouldn't let, for whatever reason at the time, no NA at that treatment center. So, long story short, I relocated from that treatment center to Williamsport. And I think Williamsport is going to have their 50th anniversary coming up, and I just heard about it the other day, someone had asked me. Say what?
28th.
So, I love people like that. That's great. Thank you. I mean, I'm serious. I lost my memory. Dennis remembers people's middle name from 78. Where the meeting was. What? It's like a friend of mine, Nicky Graziani, who passed away. He would, like a golf course, he would tell you what dog leg right, whether it was in California. My memory's gone. So anyway, when I went to Williamsport, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what meeting I was at. But I just remember being able to identify a lot better with Narcotics Anonymous. So when I had a choice, that's where I went. And worked at that treatment center. Met somebody up in that area that went through the treatment center that was from Midland, which is where he was born and raised. God is so strong, so powerful. He used us, not just us, but it starts with somebody. And fortunately or unfortunately for me, he picked me and used me and continues to use me. But ended up going to Midland after we started some meetings in Bloomsburg and Danville, a couple in Williamsport, Sunbury. So we had some experience starting meetings. So moved to Western PA, Midland, went to AA meetings. Not once did I ever, nobody ever said to me, you can't talk about drugs down in the feeder county. Not one time did they ever tell me that. I was always welcomed in a loving way, but I kept my eye on Eddie. It was like a hawk, you know. And then there was another guy, Roger Patton, who just passed. Another guy, Rick Hill, who passed. And just kept my eye on him, put him under my wing, so to speak. And then May 10th of 78, we started the Double Bubble Group. We started it at Gateway Treatment Center. We were there for 1 year. The people would come to the meeting saying they were going to the meeting, and they were visiting somebody at the treatment center, and they were passing drugs off. They asked us to leave. So we went to a different place. The good thing about being that 1 year at that Gateway Treatment Center, God is the one who controlled being there. Because people would come there to that treatment center from three different states or four different states. Guy like Jim Miller from Youngstown. He was a farmer. He made his money taking pictures of cows. Think of it. He comes there, a drug addict. Where'd you get drugs at? You know, dude was so, he was very, very instrumental in the basic test. But anyway, so people would come to Gateway, and us addicts would identify with narcotic, the language and the stories. And it's like, yeah, that was me. And so, you know, like I went to an AA meeting one time, a guy says, I spilt more of my tie than you drank. And I said, well, if you wouldn't have spilt so much, you'd have got here when I did, buddy. You know, so I don't have to go through that no more. I don't have to go someplace and fake what I have to say or weigh my words. But I want to tell you, I am grateful. I am grateful for them people that love me. Even when I talked about shooting dope at an AA meeting, they didn't say nothing to me. They just let me go. They had patience and tolerance. One of the guys was there that came to the meeting. He was at, I think he might have been at the first meeting. It's Dennis Haggard. Loved him. He had an afro like this, tie-dyed. He came in, I said, Dennis, you want to speak tonight? He says, no, I just used. I'll let him tell you the story, but the thing that was so beautiful about having the bubble at that treatment center is people would come from Youngstown, all over the tri-state area and want to start a meeting. How do we start a meeting? Here's a starter kit. We would get a bunch of them from Jimmy K. Hey, Jimmy, I need more starter kits. What the hell are you doing? I said, we're starting a meeting, buddy. And it was like a wildfire. In the early 80s, as you know, there's a lot of people in the greater area that have from like 30 and up. It's overwhelming now. I remember when we could stand in a meeting, anybody with a year or more, there's only a few people might stand up. Now it's like, yeah, it's beautiful. God is so, so good. So I don't want to talk too much more. I want to pass it to Dennis. And we kind of have I like to have like a chat between us, like a meeting inside a meeting. Good. So when I asked you to speak that night, how did you feel? I said, Dennis, you want to speak?
I was terrified. I was coming back off a 4-day run. And I had been to the first meeting, and I remember Bob. I remember he told me, like I went through treatment, then I used a bunch of times, and the thing about it in recovery is we're watching you when you're coming in and going out. We're watching you, okay? And I didn't know people were watching me. I thought I was invisible or something, you know? So he told me, he goes, we're going to start this meeting. And I go, okay. And he told me today. I go, so next week I see him. He goes, we're going to start this meeting. I go, okay. So after about 3 or 4 times, I thought, what's wrong with this dude, man? He told me once, but see, he could see that I was like, I was using it. What I remember today, I might not remember tomorrow. I went to the first meeting one day, but then when I got back, I walked up to the door, and getting to that meeting was hard. I still remember how hard it was to get back to a meeting. So I don't fuck with it today. I do not play. And what I say, and part of me really means is I don't care if all y'all go get high. I ain't going with you. And I hope none of you do. Because I had somebody come up to me and say, you want me to get high? I'm like, no, man, I was sort of telling my story. But he asked me, I go, no, I was using. He goes, no, you can't speak. Go sit down. He said, when we call for white chips, come up and get one. That's what he told me. And we used to have coins. We had these like poker chips, and it had NA printed on it. And they give you a coin. They say, if you want to use, put this under your tongue. And when it dissolves, you can go use. And that night, I remember I was sitting in that meeting, and we still say it in some meetings, does anybody feel like getting high and want to talk about it? And this girl sitting next to me, she had blonde, all I remember, she was a pretty girl, had blonde hair, don't remember nothing else about her. She said, after this meeting, I'm going to go outside and smoke a J. This is how I know somebody would not even one day could carry the message. I turned to her and said, baby, don't do it. See, the smoke was still coming off me. I just got out of the fire.
Sizzle.
I was like sizzling. I was sizzling for a while too. one thing I learned in Narcotics Anonymous is if you keep your mouth shut, you could be thinking all kinds of crazy shit. Like blowing the world up, hostile takeover of everything. Robbing, you know, go to the grocery store, they open up the till, snanny, grab all the money and run. You can think all kinds of shit. Just don't do it and keep your mouth shut. And go to a meeting. And people won't know how nutty you are. And it's all good. So, you know, I just followed Bob and Eddie around. And they said, like, we're going over here, we go over there. And we go to meetings early. I learned early, go early, man. Somebody was telling me the other day, people don't come early anymore. I think that's like because online, that's what I put it on. Because online, you can come like 1 minute before the meeting starts and you're early. But for groups, come half hour early, you get the meeting before the meeting, man. And you couldn't beat Bob to the meeting.
Still can.
You still can. If it was, he'd go there and put the coffee on, and if you didn't like the coffee, you come next week earlier and you can make it. Well, if you came earlier next week, then he was coming earlier than you the next week. So you just had to give up at some point. He's been camping out from the day before or something. But with people like that that were on target, it was just easier for me. There was no gray area. You weren't allowed to wear a t-shirt that said Iron City Beer. That was out. You wore a t-shirt that said Iron City, you were getting talked about. And not behind your back, neither. But somebody's gonna front you right up. Call it a half measure. And you know, you might think, oh, that's, man, that's too radical. And I go, well, okay. I don't know what to say. You know? Bob had a roommate one time that had Budweiser curtains. I saw those curtains, I was like, I'll stick around for this one. So you weren't allowed to have bath towels. You definitely weren't allowed to wear something with a pot leaf on it. So all that shit was just out, right? That was just out. And I liked that. I liked that. I didn't have to. I fit in. I wanted to fit in here because I was scared to death of using it. And I just tell one quick story about H&I. Love me some H&I. We had H&I. They wouldn't let you be on the H&I committee until you had 1 year. I didn't care who you were. But as soon as I had 1 year, man, I got I raised my hand on my anniversary. And they let us go into the jail, and Bob hooked up the county jail, and the warden says, okay, we'll give you a room. Bob goes, no, we need coffee too. And he goes, no, you can't have coffee. He says, we've got to have coffee because them inmates ain't coming down unless you have coffee. So we're going to have coffee down there. So the warden says, okay, you can have coffee. We're down there having coffee, and they're just basically, they're off the range, so they're happy. And they get some coffee, so they're happy. And they start calling us drug school. drug school's coming in. So me and his cat Mickey T, we go to do the meeting one night. And Old Beaver County Jail, you went in through a gate, then they had the desk, then you went in through another gate, and then they had a holding cell, then they had another gate. Then he went down the stairs to the meeting room. So we get in through the first gate, blah, 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 sign your name, go through the meeting. Hey, everybody for drug school, come on down. And so, you know, we just shake our hand. We go do the meeting, and we're leaving the meeting. So we get up to the top of the steps. Now, you're never supposed to have two gates open at the same time, right? Well, they opened up both gates to let us out. And as we were walking through that holding cell, these three inmates tried to bust out. So they start fighting with the cops with the turnkey right there. Me and Mickey standing out by the desk, like, what the hell's going on? Mickey runs. He grabs the key out of the door, runs, and locks me in. So we're like, we're watching. You can see like cops like rolling. These guys are rolling around in the holding cell. It was pretty freaking crazy. And so I just went up and said, Mickey, let me out. So he lets me out. So we get out and lock the door. And one of the inmates made it up to the gate. And he goes, give me that fucking key. And we were holding the key. We just went. Because we'd have been joining them. So we went across the street to the courthouse and told the sheriff, hey, man, they're trying to break out of jail. They threw us out after that. They said it was our fault. But we got.
Who wants to sign up for H&I?
So, but we got back in after that, anyhow.
What'd you think of Jimmy Miller when he came to the game?
He took pictures of cows for a living. I never even knew you could do that shit. He was a professional cow photographer. It's big money, too.
Big money.
It was like big money. People were paying like 50 grand for a cow. I was like, what? This was back in the 70s, man. I don't know what they pay now. A quarter of a million, half a million. Because if you get like a hybrid cow, any farmers in here? No? Yeah, don't want to admit it?
don't matter, right?
None of that shit matters. But yeah, he took pictures of cows, and he had a farm. And him and these other cats, they started the first Youngstown meeting at the Union Hall. It was on Rush Boulevard. Rush. Always like that. Anyhow, and so they were going to throw us out of there too because we swore too much. There was other meetings going on in there at the same time in other rooms, and they came over to talk to us one night. They go, it's sort of like your dad coming over after you just got done wrecking a family car or something. Yeah. Or getting arrested the first time. You know, he's going to give you the talk. They come over and says, you guys swear an awful lot. It's this spiritual program. We just sat there. We went, mm-hmm. As soon as they left, we were like, fuck that motherfucker. I don't want to be irreverent about it. They were nice people. I mean, they got us the room. But I'm just saying where we were at. This is what it was, this Wild West. We all had like a year, maybe. Bob had 3 years when I had a minute. So Bob would have had like 4 years in, and Eddie would have had a couple years, and the rest of us had like a year or less. So you ever go to a meeting where it's been run by people with a year or less? We were running the region that way. So-called region. But anyhow, that's enough for me. Eddie helped start the first meeting, and he was the first secretary for the Double Bubble, so he could tell you about that.
And Erie.
And he started. He brought NA to Erie, PA also.
Yeah. My name's Ed. I'm an advocate. And I was first.
How long have you played at?
43 years. There was, you know, that was the high point of my life. It's all been pretty level after that. But I was the first speaker at the Double Bubble meeting. And that was the first meeting between Philadelphia and Los Angeles. And Bob was on the phone pretty much every day with Jimmy Kay. And Jimmy Kay would keep him posted, you know, that something started down in Texas, something up in Kansas. But we were the first meeting. And I think back before that meeting started, and I mean, I was in and out of jail. I did probably a year and a half. In the old Allegheny County, they had a round room where they would shackle you down for 3 days, and there was a hole cut in the center of the pot, so you just everything went through the pot, and the trustees changed it every day. And then when I was in the Beaver County jail, I had like 800 morphine sulfate, and I got busted in jail with them. So I mean, I was like the most, there's a Bobby W, he said I was the hardest poor drug addict that he knew, and he was out on the street with me. And my mother went to, there was no NA before this meeting started. So when I was going through the jail and I was going through all my legal stuff, my mother went to the family physician and said, what do you do with a drug addict? You know, like somebody that's using IV. My family physician, my primary care physician at the time said, you know, she said, it's like having a terminal illness. You know, they should just put them all up against the wall and shoot them and just get it over with. You know? So that's an MD telling my mother what my prospects were. And I have to say that, I had no hope at all. And the first time I was introduced to NA, it was in a rehab over in the eastern part of the state where Bob was working, actually. And I mean, basically, he brought NA to Beaver County. And I would see him, and I asked him to be my sponsor. And I ended up, the last time I got arrested, I thought I was doing real well because I was just drinking. And I got a DUI on New Year's Eve of 1976, and I tried to drive away from the cop. And he grabbed a hold of me, and I drug him across. I mean, I ended up, it was like 5 to 10 years is what I was sentenced. And I thought that would be enough to keep me clean, 5 to 10 years. And I got with my brother-in-law watching a Steeler game, and I ended up making it okay to drink a beer, and then I drank 10 beers, and then I took it off the joint. And I figured I was going to go to jail anyhow, so I saw a pharmacist up on the north side. And I ended up violating, the courthouse closed at 4:30, and at 5 o'clock the sheriff's department was at my house. And the judge said I was supposed to go right to, Rockview, 5 to 10 years. And my sponsor, Lynn, came down and saw my probation officer. And my probation officer wouldn't even have talked to my parents. Bob had gone to a couple meetings with her, and he talked to her and said that that's kind of what addicts do. They relapse. I went to meetings for 10 and a half months. That was primarily the AA meetings for 10 and a half months. And I did well for 10 and a half months. And I just got in a situation I shouldn't have been in. I used, I violated my probation. And that was after this DUI. And Bob told her that I could come and live with him. I could live with him, and that he basically would sit on me. And I lived with him for a year and a half, and it saved my life. And he brought NA to Beaver County, and it was just like, like Dennis said, Bob was the first one. You couldn't get to a meeting before him. And then we decided to start the double bubble, and that was kind of like, I didn't know what I was doing. People told me that I was living with Plummer and I was staying clean, and they said that I started talking like him. And I really, I was kind of more quiet, reserved, and he was real spontaneous and outgoing. And I tried that on. That early recovery was just like trying on a new way of being and being, being more spontaneous, not as guarded. And I just did everything he told me. I lived with him, and I knew that I wasn't doing that 5 to 10. And I figured whatever I had to do to not go to the Rockview, I would do. And I lived with him, and we got along, we just had a really good relationship. And I ended up staying clean for a couple of years, and I got laid off, and I went back to college. And when I went to Erie, and I everything I learned from him, I took with me to Erie. And Bob went to the probation office. At that time, the newcomer is the most important person. And the only way that we were getting newcomers was people that were in trouble, like I was, legally. Bob had the probation office. After I was clean a year, the probation office in Beaver County was pretty much convinced that what we were doing was working. And they referred a lot of people to, everybody basically had to go to drug and alcohol program. Bob and I ended up getting on a board of directors of a drug and alcohol program. And it was like...
Who's the director of that place now?
You know, when I was the director of that drug and alcohol program 20 years ago, I worked there for 15 years, and I was the director for 9, and last month I became the director again. So it's a bit when I went to Erie, you know, like all I knew, I just watched what he did to get things started in Beaver County. And I tried doing the same thing, you know, like I talked to probation, I talked to the treatment center. We were right at Gateway in Beaver County, but in Erie there was a Crossroads Center, and they were strictly AA, and I mentioned NA, and they said, we don't know anything about that. We're not referring anybody we're not going to tell anybody they have to go to an NA meeting. And the only place that would talk to me, you know, and kind of work with me was the mental health center. So basically, everybody that was at that first meeting at St. Vincent's was basically some people that had co-occurring disorders. They had the psychiatric disorder, and they had a co-occurring psychiatric disorder, and the drug and alcohol disorder. So the meeting just kind of grew. Dennis came up in March, and this would have been 1980.
Yeah, April of 80.
Or April of 80. And we had probably at the St. Vincent's Health Center, 30 people, 35 people at each meeting. And we were doing well. As we entered the summer months, everybody goes to the Prescott, you know. So one week we had 35 people at this meeting, and then the next week there was like 6 or 7, because they opened Prescott and everybody was at the beach. Yeah, we made it 3 years in Erie. And we had Bob, Dennis, people would come up from Beaver County, from Pittsburgh. You know, Dottie was our first speaker, Billy N was the second speaker, and for the second anniversary. And the program was just thriving in Erie at that point. The 81, 82, and then I was talking to Paul, and then a couple, I left, and then there was a Peggy S that had a stroke, and in the meeting, I know it closed down for a while, and then it kind of started back up, and then closed down. But that was a big part of just who I was that I got a chance to be the Bob Plummer of Erie. So it was like, but it was just hospitals and institutions, you know, working with the psychiatric community, working with the probation office. I knew pretty much all the judges, and a lot of them I had been before for a criminal case, but they listened, and they believed that what we were doing in NA did work, and the people that they were seeing that stayed with the meetings not only stopped using, but they became better people, you know, and it was it's just been, you know, I ended up going back to school, and I getting degrees, and you know, it's I've done well, and the core of who I am is a recovering addict, and I made a commitment to go to a home group every week for a year. And that was a condition Bob put on it early on. If you join a home group, you have to commit yourself to be there every week for the year. And then you can decide if you're gonna commit again. But that that experience, well, all I can say is he saved my life. Dennis being there as a friend, support, you know, that all happened 44 years ago. And because I was clean and then I relapsed. So 44 years ago, and then, you know, and I think of today, and I have the same friends today, and my supports are the same today as they were 43 years ago. A couple people died along the way, but this has just been, a journey of, like, relationships and friends, you know, people that were there, people that we did things. I mean, we would do things. We went to Charleston, West Virginia, to help somebody start a meeting. It took us 6 hours to get there, 6 hours to get back. But on the way down and on the way back, at that time all we had was the white book, first 10 pages. And I think all three of us had it memorized, so we were able to, when we were driving in the car, that's kind of what we did, that we go through the steps, the tradition, who's an addict, what is the narcotics program. But it's just been, I'm looking back over my life, I mean, this is the most sacred part of it, is the relationships I have with the people that are here.
Thanks. I remember a time when, it was our second anniversary, I believe. We didn't have the only literature we had was the IPs and the white book. And we used to use, some of us used to use a book, it was out of, I forget where we used to get it at. It was called Young, Sober, and Free. It was written by Shelley Marshall. So somehow I got a hold of it. She was from Spokane, Washington. And I asked her if she would speak for us at our, I think it was the second anniversary for the bus. And it was held in a, what?
Fire hall.
What was that?
Volunteer Fire Hall in Center Township,
yeah.
On Broadhead Road.
See what I'm saying? Mine's gone. It's gone. That's what I don't realize. So I asked her if she'd speak. So one of the things, I don't know if it was just me or other guys did it, but one of my things was, is to get as many people as I could to that event, because we were still in our infancy stages. We had flyers made up. I don't know if it was legal or illegal by the NA tradition, but we got them in print.
Right.
And I would go to all the agencies, any place that had DNA, I would go. Jails, counselors, AA. I got these old parts from AA to come. Anyway, this girl gets up there to speak. Now, there's a lot of people at this second interview. I mean, people that aren't even addicts that are, like, treatment, you know, people in the business. And this girl got up to tell her story. And when she told her the story, it was like a fifth step. And she gave, like she woke up one time, she was in an orgy. And she got detail. And anyway, after the meeting, these old guys in AA said, oh man, I'm going to this NA stuff. Where's the next meeting? Where's the next NA meeting, man? I like, these guys are honest. They're raw, man. So, I have a meeting list.
Attraction.
Say what?
Attraction.
Oh, that's, hey, I broke traditions. I'm sorry, guys, but I did whatever I had to do. I felt, today I call it the Holy Spirit, okay? But back then there was something inside me that told me to do this or do that, and I would listen to it. Until today, it's working.
Why'd they name it the Double Bubble?
A guy named Dick Flanagan, who started White Deer Run, was from Philadelphia. He was an AA guy, and his home group was called the Double Bubble. And that's why, I don't know, it was a passion of mine. So when we asked the home group members at that time, what name do you want to name the bubble? Or do you know the meaning? Some people said, I can't remember what it was. But Iris, who's also in the base of Texas, down in Mon Valley, I think she's working in a meth program, right? She's still alive and clean.
Maybe.
She's say
here.
What?
She's here.
Is she?
Yeah.
Good. So we should ask her.
Yeah.
So everybody would watch my hand. If it would like move, that's the way they would vote. That was, and after I became aware of it, I was so uncomfortable. Just like I am now with Eddie and Dennis to say, he saved my life. But I know I've learned to give all the credit to Christ, to God. All of it, 100%. God's grace and mercy got me here. And I don't know if you know, but you got your ass here too. But there's a meeting list here from 1981. And there's not very many meetings here. And Dennis remembers probably 99% of, you know, the meetings where it started. And I know after the bubble, I think Butler was next. They had two meetings in Butler. The guy that I asked to come here, I remember Mike Clemens was pretty strong. Mike Clemens and I went through White Deer Run together. And when he came out here, he hooked up with Mary Ann. They got married. Butler, Butler A Center. He started two meetings right after us. And then Jimmy Miller came from Youngstown.
Washington down at the...
Washington was...
Jolick Manor Housing Authority basement.
And then that was a great thing about being in that treatment center is where it just like freaking blew up, man. It was so beautiful.
Alpha House.
The Alpha House. The Alpha House meeting.
Yeah.
Remember? That was a behavior modification program over at Shadyside.
They had to wear signs and shit. Said like, I'm
same as White Deer.
Bag.
Yeah. Ducks, caps.
Right. Uh-huh. I'm a jag off. I want to be clean or something.
Yeah.
White Deer Run was the same way. It was a behavior modification, you know.
Like a checkerboard.
And I think Billy Newmont was a big instrumental person in that meeting. And there was another guy who was, because we went on the radio, because I went to the World Service Conference in 1980, became the PI chair for whatever reason. I don't know if I stuck my hand up or what, but I came back and we did something on WYDD radio station. Dennis, me, and
Bob.
Another guy, Bob. You know, the radio person was, we had a, was talking about NA starting in Pittsburgh. And I remember going down the steps saying, I knew she was following us too. I said, that girl's probably an addict too. No, I'm not. And that's what I wanted her to say. So we end up dating. That's the girl that was killed in the car wreck in the basic text for my story. But from that radio, H and I, when we reach out, when we go to the prisons, I overheard some guys talking over there about the H and I. Critical, that's critical stuff going into them. Because that's where we go. You know, we get jacked up, we go to hospital, prisons.
Also that agent, that, excuse me, Bob,
go ahead,
that PI thing. So we did that PI thing and they put it on at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was so angry. I was like, I thought it should have been on like, you know, 9 o'clock or something, like prime time. Here some dude came to a meeting after hearing that.
How about that?
So
is that
you might think,
or what?
Yeah, you might think like PI ain't doing it, but I mean, I was shocked he showed up and said, yeah, that was that dude, Opie.
Yeah. That girl that was killed in the car wreck at the station, she was a disc jockey for the first East Coast Convention, too.
Yeah.
So, in Washington, and then other areas, like the city, but there were some guys in the city that it's important to me, but they couldn't make it. And some of them are gone, and some of them couldn't make it. But Gary is somebody I want to talk about, the Washington.
Right. Yeah, my name is Gary.
Hey, Gary.
You know, when I got this phone call, of course, you know, it's from Bobby, and when the phone rings and it said, Bobby Plummer, you answer the phone. Okay, period. And so no matter what he asks you, and it has to do with NA, you don't say no. He could have said, help me remove a dead body from my trunk. I'd have said, absolutely, Bobby, I'll help you plumber. Yeah, but I pretended like I didn't know who he was. I'm like, Bobby. Anyhow, I called him the next day and said, Bobby, I'm the wrong guy for this, man. Like, you gotta bail me out here. He said, and here's why, is because I can only, like, these guys, just hearing these guys, man, I get chills. I got teary-eyed on the way up here just a few times. Listen to these cats, you know, talk about the old times, the 70s, the 80s, the original meetings, the bubble bubble, you know, the meetings from Philadelphia between that and, you know, LA and stuff. It's just, you know, it's such a treat for me to just be here and a part of that and listen to that. It's amazing. So I can only share with you from, you know, when I got clean in 1990 to current. Now, honestly, I'm a protege of the South Hills area, and that's where everyone calls it, hey, that's the Washington area. And it is, but we call ourselves Icana, which is the interstate crossroads area of Narcotics Anonymous. I told my guys that at home that I would drop that .0. So we are the Washington area. Anyhow, it wasn't on, Dennis was saying, and these guys were saying that the early meetings, I really don't know. I know that, you know, I think the Washington, what they called it, the Washington group, a long time ago, because there wasn't a Washington 2. So I think it was just the Washington group. When there became a Washington 2 group, that's when Washington 1 became a Washington 1. But I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s. And I just talked to them.
Jolic Manor Community Center, Franklin and Wheeling.
Wow.
8 o'clock, open discussion.
Wow. Yeah, and so actually, I talked to Paul Swansea, who just had 39 years. On the way up here, he confirmed that, yeah, the meeting were, you know, in 1980, were in Jolic Manor. And so anyhow, I'm a product of the South Hills area, and that's where the Interstate Crossroads area came from. And honestly, you know, and I was, my first sponsor, he used the word thrust. He said, you have to thrust in the service. And that was really the only word that I understood at that point. So when you use that word, I'm like, sign me up. And I became a GSR. Within a couple of years, we called it the P&A chair. And then I became the vice chair and then the chair of South Hills, I think, around 94. And I got to tell you a few things about, I remember us getting our first word processor. Well, the computer was a word processor. It looked exactly like a typewriter, but it had memory. But it only had enough memory for the first page. That was it. So, and it was just the logo, the NA, South Hills area, and then the agenda, which never changed. You know what I mean? Roll call, blah, blah, blah. And we were so pumped. We were so excited to have. And then, you know, we didn't have the email, so we, you know, they printed the copies and blah, blah, blah. And we, you know, it was a big to-do back then. And around, Paul could probably, you know, back then, I remember with a couple months clean, Paul, who passed over here, back then there was what they called a literature committee. And it was a different literature committee than what I know of today. Literature committee today, for me, is we sell literature in area, in the area of service. Back then, Paul had what they called a standing literature committee, correct? And what you were, their literature committee, you were able as an addict have input in the literature at the World Service. And so I think at that time, I don't know if you were working on the fourth tradition or something like that, but as an addict, you could show up at area service and have input into our literature. And I remember Paul being the chair there, and I thought it was that was a cool thing. And I was just, I had 3 months clean, and there was a couple people, Lauren and Paul were there, and back then it was so, like, I felt like so a part of it, because I thought, man, I was involved in the literature in some way, which I wasn't, you know, I was in, you know, just thrust into this, you know. So anyhow, in 2003, I got clean in 90 and, you know, became, you know, got involved in a lot of ways. I got to tell you, your guy Lance here at the Laurel Mountains, I remember trying to get involved, and I sat on every committee known to man, because I just wanted to be. He used this word, I probably had like 6 months clean, he used this word, stick-to-itiveness is the word, right? And I'm like, dude, this dude is full of shit. So I went home and looked it up in the dictionary, it's a word. It's really a word. And, anyhow, that's, you know, and so we used to, when Lance started, I don't want to share a story, but when Lance started his meeting, we called it Lance Stop. Is what, and he's still on my phone as Lance Stump, believe it or not, after all these years. After 25 years, he's still on my phone. Like, I was here at this first Laurel Mountain retreat. Amazing retreat. Anyhow, fast forward, just being involved in every capacity, H&I, that, you know, I just latched onto these guys, and Eddie was saying it, like, these guys are lifelong friends, and the guys that I walked in the room with, and you know, I got Bobby Plummer's phone number. I don't have that. I think I have to have 35 years plus or more to have a dentist. I'm working on it. Like, I still never, so I'm saying that out loud so, you know, you can calm on his shit later on. You get Darren's phone number. Anyhow, there was a couple things that were going on in South Hills that we were over 50 groups in the South Hills area. And it talks about in the NA service manual somewhere that when the groups get that big and areas get that big, that we're basically doing a disservice to addicts getting lost in the shuffle. You get 200 people in the meeting or whatever, and the area gets so big, and you know, you get lost in the shuffle sometimes. So, and I got to tell you, it was we did it with no malice at all, but there caused some resentment there. Because that people, you know, they, you know, South Hills at that, like, they were like pissed off at us, like we were leaving or something. And that wasn't it at all. It was we felt a need, since we were called the Washington group, we figured the Washington area, we figured it's time.
You go.
Right, exactly. And so, but there was some things that happened there. We wanted to have literature at our area, and at that time South Hills really wasn't big on that. We had to really look at this stuff in 2002. We wanted to know if it was financially feasible for us to break away. So there was a lot of things that went on to that. There was a lot of, you know, there was three of us actually. Vance was one of them. Scott T is one of them also. He's still clean but doesn't come around. Anyhow, we had to look at all them things, and I'm just going to say, no one ever, I was telling these guys, no one ever has interest in this stuff, but I carry this shit around in my trunk, I swear to God, I show these guys that I have old archives, that's my thing, I love collecting these old archives, and I brought some stuff from the late 70s and the 80s with these guys' names all over it, and I brought them to my trunk, and they were reading it, and I read it constantly because I just love reading that stuff and knowing what these guys did back in the day.
I remember we were behind this car talking. We were talking about a story about, you know, and anything we did. He goes, "Oh, you mean this?" He opened the book, and there was a minutes for the meeting. He had it in his trunk from 79.
Original.
And the girl that spoke, I told you, that spoke, Shelly, or Shelly Martin, she was, and her name was right in the minutes.
Same as Bobby told me the story about the book, the love, what was it called?
Young, Sober, and Free.
Right. As soon as he told me the story about that, the book and the orgy, I went on eBay to see if I could find the book. I swear to God. It's out there. You can still get it. Anyhow. In 2002, we decided that to break away, and we started the Interstate Crossroads area of narcotics alone. So not only do I have the old tri-state area minutes, but I also have things that have no interest in this, I'm sure. But I have a lot of the old NA history when we started. And believe it or not, our original guidelines were on a floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my car with Lance's, he wrote on it, "I cannot." It's his handwriting, and I still have that, all that stuff today. So anyhow, real quick, we started with, nobody wanted to jump on board. We started with maybe six or seven groups in 2003. Everyone was kind of fearful of jumping on board with, you know, and it was new. And so anyhow, what had happened is a lot of the groups didn't sign on to the Washington area or the ICANA group, the ICANA area, and they kept, and they stayed in South Hills. So when you got a meeting list from ICANA, none of those meetings in our area were on the meeting list because they all stayed at the South Hills thing. So a lot of the meetings today that stayed with South Hills are now defunct. Because at the time, when you looked at the ICANA meeting list, you didn't know the meetings existed unless you went on the tri-state, you know, meeting list guy. So anyhow, a lot of the meetings back then, so today in 2003, I got chill coming up here that we're 18 years old. Now we're having our 18th Labor Day picnic here, of course, on Labor Day. You're more than welcome to come, but we're up to 50 groups now. It's one of the things that, real quick, that we noticed at the South Hills, it got so big, it became a them or us thing. Meaning, the folks up at that table, which I was one of them, and I'm guilty of it, it was like a line there, you know what I mean? And so it kind of got weird. I don't know if that makes sense, like a them or us, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Talk to me after the meeting. Anyhow, when we decided to do Cape by Canada, we made a commitment to what we call foster unity. And there's really no them or us there. We're all in this thing together. We're 18 years old. We have over 50 groups. We still to this day. I got one more story, and I showed these guys when we were eating. I'm sitting in a meeting this morning because a couple of my guys picked up my key tags. So I'm sitting at the meeting, and I knew I was coming up here. I didn't want to come up here. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. I'm trying to, like, get sick or whatever, you know. And so I write down on my phone. I knew I had to go home, and I wanted to grab some literature. So I get on my phone, and I'm texting myself. I'm like, I'm going to text myself the shit that I got to get when I go home to come up here. And so when I get home, I get the list, and I show it. And I looked at my phone, and what I texted myself was pray. That was it. No literature, not pick this up, not grab this literature, just said pray. And you know what? That's what I did. And that was on my list this morning that I text myself to come here, was to pray. So anyhow, here I am. It's just an honor hanging out with these guys. I'm listening to their stories. I can listen to them all day. I pick their brain. But there's some history here. Paul and Tim here probably have a lot of history from, you know, Paul was Butler. And I think Tim is what your Greens burned. And so,
We got like not many minutes, so he just said it. So I want to start to interrupt. But I asked Tim about 1 minute before the meeting started, because he was from Greensburg. So I wanted to get about 5 minutes.
I appreciate that. You know, it's an honor to be able to share a little bit. I'm not a big Tim. And you know what? I was actually asked to speak here on the panel, and then they, like, a couple weeks ago, they shifted me to steps 4 and 5, and now I'm back on the panel. So I guess it's meant to be. I don't know. Some things are supposed to happen. But, you know, I got clean in on the north side, 1988. I think that's 11/28/88, and I had no intention about getting clean. I just wanted to be able to use successfully. You know, I couldn't understand, like, how I was using the way I was using. Somebody could teach me something different. And I heard from guys from H&I came in and shared their message. You know, the important thing that I did was I got out of that institution and I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It was the Wilkinsburg Wake Up. And it was a very positive experience. It was Saturday morning, and it was Christmas time. It was a big party. They had food. I thought every meeting was like this. I really did. And you know what? It was a really good, positive experience. And for me, that was really important. It kind of fanned the flame of desire for me to continue. And basically, I was living in the Monroeville area at the time, and with the Pittsburgh meetings and stuff, and kind of got connected and got a sponsor, and I was in a lot of legal problems, so my first sponsor was an attorney. That didn't work out real well. I just needed some free legal advice. And he meet me, you know, we talk about steps and traditions, and I'd be talking about my case. Like, we just had no, you know, and it didn't work, but eventually I found somebody and got involved, and then fast forward, I'm going to give you the brief edition here because it's run out of time, but I ended up moving back to Greensburg. And going to a lot of Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and the meeting list that I have from that time was on the regional was on one sheet of paper, you know. I still have a couple of them, I think from '87 maybe. And you know, it's amazing how much the fellowship's grown. We've got the booklet now on. Anyway, I moved to Greensburg, and there's two meetings a week there then. You know, it was Saturday and I forget the other one. Wednesday, I think. Yeah, Hubs. And that was it. And I was like, I met Jeff there when I moved to Greensboro and some other people. And I was like, how do you people stay clean? Where do we go? We go to this other fellowship. And I didn't have the same experience you did. You know, I was told, you can't say that. You know, you can't talk about that here. But sometimes I went regardless because it was a meeting. You know, at that time, too, we would travel 2 hours to West Virginia to support a meeting, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because that was what we did. It right. Just seemed like the normal thing to do. Christ, sometimes to get somebody to go, you know, 30 minutes to Indiana to a meeting, sometimes is real difficult today. You know, But we would do that, and it was really, really nice because it made us build, we had some unity then. You know, it was nice because that car ride was important. We got to know each other, but this is my experience, and I'm going to share it real quick. The last ANA meeting I went to, sitting in the back with all my Kumbas, and the lady gets up and she shares, I went and I was silent all the time because I didn't feel comfortable, you know? The lady gets up and she says, oh, my name's so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm really, really nervous, but in a few minutes I'll be okay because I took a cup of Valium. God made me rise up and get that. I went out of that church basement never to return, you know? And that's just my experience. I thought, my God, that's just not what I needed to hear, you know? It is what it is, and so things happen for a reason, but I got committed to Narcotics Anonymous because I've always felt very comfortable here. This is my language, these are my people, this is where I belong.
Tell me, how many meetings are there?
We have at least one every day.
Okay.
A couple days or two. We have some new meetings, so, you know, we were initially involved with the Southwest area, and once again, we had a break because it was too big, too crazy. We then joined the WE area, which we started, which was down at the Valley and all that. And we had a lot of unity then. We had pig roasts and stuff. I remember the pig roasts up in Henry's Farm and stuff. There was a lot of unity. And you guys, the fellowship was small, but we were like tighter then, you know? We supported each other. We shared document, you know what I mean, the stuff on the flippy, you know, your floppy disk and shit, you know, and you know, we tried to, minutes and got, we went back and forth, and we were really united at that time, and then, we just got too big for that too, and then we decided to, and we were really wise at this time, we started the Swan Central Westmoreland area of Narcotics Anonymous, which is where we are now, and we did, and I don't know if you guys remember some of the initial meetings that we had. There were some problems with us breaking away. You know, like we're just trying to do this to, you know, support our own people. You know, we're not getting divorced or nothing. We're still going to be there for you. You know, but there were some problems. But we worked through the problems, and we had some real good organizational meetings. And the intent was, of course, to support our own people and to grow the fellowship out in the Central Westmoreland area. It's struggling right now, to be honest with you, I think. And I think we have a long way to go, but hopefully, you know, keep going. And I'm committed. It's an honor to be able to hear, you know, you guys. I love some of the stories. The history is really important to me. I, too, have a bunch of archives in my house in boxes, and nobody wants them. You know, I go to area, and but nobody in our area thinks, but there's value in our history. And I don't want to like lose the history because someday people are going to need to come back here and learn where we came from. It's important, you know? I thank you for listening
to me. One thing I just want to share, and then we're going to close, is I remember being at, who went to the World Convention in Orlando? I was at the main meeting. I think it was Saturday night, and there was 25,000 people. 25,000 at a meeting. And I sat there, and as the night was going on, I had, not a revelation, but a flashback of what we just talked about. I remember starting that first meeting, my sponsor, who was an AA guy, Dick Lang. Oh, you got one meeting, what are you going to do with the rest of them? And I remember the first thought that came to my mind, I said, was, I think I'll let God figure that out. I didn't say that to him, I wanted to, because I thought I might have been smart to. And it just flashed back to me, and I was so overwhelmed, I started crying like a little baby. Not because I started the bubble, because I didn't start the bubble. Everyone thinks I did. We did. There was four of us there. Not one, there were four of us. I count four and a half. Because Dennis was there. He was limping. Dennis was limping. Without Dennis, Dennis and I burnt out many cars to get to the meetings that were started in different three states. It was all because of God's grace and mercy. That's the only reason. That's all.
I just want to say one more thing about Bob's energy. Energy and excitement. He had so much excitement for for NA, and it was just, I mean, he would wake up and he would go probation. He would just, and it was just the jail, and it was just excitement. And I lived with him for a year and a half. You know, and his story is the first story, the basic text, the original version. And I'll never forget, he was working in a mill, and he got laid off. So he joined the YMCA, and he went over and lifted weights for like 12 hours. And of course, he didn't get up for the next week. But that just that high energy. And really, you know, when I think of like, yeah, one of the things I was taught too was just, you know, pick up people. I remember living in Aliquippa, driving to Beaver Falls, picking a guy up and bringing him back to Aliquippa for the meeting and taking him home. I mean, that was
these guys came from Beaver to Bridgeville to bring me here. It's like the old days, man. It was like the old days. That was 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they came here 2 hours. And sometimes I forget that. When someone wants to ride to a meeting, right away I want to think of an excuse. Still me, I'm not talking about you. I don't know what that's your program. I think that's why I'm still clean. Timmy, him, and him. Mm-hmm. We have bumps in the road, but you got to be willing. I mean,
one other thing real quick too was like, since Eddie brought that up, you know, you see people in a recovery, like Bob, I worked in a mill with Bob, steel mill. It was a good job. And they closed it down. So Bob, I said, what are we going to do? He goes, I'm going to join the Y. So I said, okay. So I joined the Y because he did. And I'm still going to the Y, and that was 1982. So all I can tell you is other people they'll give you information that you can use. And it doesn't always have to be this, that, or the other thing. But I just came here with you might not be old enough to remember, there used to be this game where it was like a little tablet that you wrote on with a piece of plastic, and then when you lifted it up, it erased itself. Yeah. Like a little kid's, it's not Etch-a-Sketch, but it's kind of like that. That was like my memory. You could write shit on there, and then when I lifted it up, it was gone. So I needed to be told why.
This is a good turnout. I want to thank everybody for your interest in the history.
Thank you.
So you can, not because we started it, and because you can pass it on to the next person on how it is supposed to be. When a meeting starts, you shut up, just like you did today. You're quiet in a peaceful, loving way. Calm everybody down. We are responsible for the recovery atmosphere here. You got something to say? Just hold on to that or stand outside of it. Because when a newcomer comes here, his first snapshot is going to be, hey, motherfucker! Really? He might be coming from a different background. That's going to... I'm not trying to tell you to stop saying that. But just try to remember. Just try to remember when shit comes out of our mouth. It's, you know, there's a little kid in the meeting. And there's probably one here now that I didn't even know about. But we have to pay attention to that. Really, I mean, it's our responsibility. Not the old timer. It's your responsibility. It's ours. Because like he said, the meetings are small because of COVID, but it's our responsibility. It'll grow again. God's got this. But we gotta help. We gotta dig in, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Katie. I'm an